And we'll be reading our Bibles today, so please open up. I've got two readings today. The first one is from Exodus chapter 20. We're starting at verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, it's the Sabbath day to our Lord God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Our second reading today is from Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, and we'll start at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus.
Well, a top lawyer once upon a time bought a brand new Porsche, and he took it along to work to show all his colleagues. But as he's getting out of his brand new Porsche, a truck comes along, swerves over, smashes into this brand new Porsche and totally rips off the door. Now, a nearby police officer sees what's going on, so he can actually hop in his car and drives in and parks behind the Porsche. But before the police officer even has time to barely get out of the car and start speaking to this lawyer guy, this lawyer just starts ranting hysterically. He says, "I cannot believe that this just happened. I just bought this Porsche yesterday. It's ruined. Even with all the repairs it will be done, it'll never be the same again." And the lawyer just shakes, the police officer just shakes his head and just says, "I can't believe you lawyers. You're so materialistic. You're always focusing on the little things and not focusing on the important things in life." And the lawyer just is totally shocked that the police officer would react like that and says, "Why are you saying that?" Well, the police officer says, "You know, when the truck swerved by, it actually ripped off your arm." And the top lawyer says, "Oh no, my Rolex." Now, I've already apologized in advance to some of the fine lawyers amongst us for that bit of a lame joke, but the reason I give that joke is I just really want to raise the point of missing the point. There's such a thing as focusing on what's actually very unimportant. You can get worked up over something that's over there when really you should be paying attention to what's happening over here. And in this moment, in Matthew chapter 12, there's this encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees, these respectable, these so-called knowledgeable religious teachers. They have this religious zeal, this concern, but they're totally missing the point. they're missing the point about Jesus. And whether you consider yourself a religious person or not, a church-going person or not, whatever background you have, whatever drives you in life, don't miss out on Jesus, because this would be the most tragic missing the point thing ever. Now, there in your Bibles, have a look at chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at this moment, because we're told there that Jesus is with his disciples, and it looks like they're taking a shortcut. They're walking through someone's grain field. Picture the scene. Actually, it's a pretty cool scene when you think about it. There is Jesus and his disciples. Maybe it's sort of waist-high wheat around them. They're walking through. We're told they're hungry. So it's drive-through. They're picking off the grains, taking off the husk, little gluten-rich, on-the-go snack. Now, I've got to say, when I read this story, it actually reminds me of a scene of a movie, Lord of the Rings, that very first movie, if you've seen it. You know that scene where there's Frodo and there's Sam, and then they meet Merry and they're Pippin, and they're going through this farmer's field, they're travelling along, and as it turns out, if you know the scene, Merry and Pippin have actually stolen the farmer's cabbages and the carrots and all of that, and this farmer's now chasing them. But just to say, this is Jesus and his disciples. They're grabbing a snack on the go, but it isn't stealing. Because in fact, there's the Old Testament law that actually accommodated for little snacks on the go as you walk by a field. But it wasn't an act of stealing. It was an act of apparent Sabbath breaking. So we need to understand this Sabbath thing. Now, we read before the Sabbath, it was part of the famous Ten Commandments. It was part of the Jewish law, a day of rest, one day out of seven. And in the Jewish law, it was a Saturday. And make no mistake, what a good law. What a good law. You know, when you're feeling drained, a day to be refilled. When you've just been busy on the go all week, have a day to be refreshed. To have a day in the week, not about output, not about survival mode, but to invest in family and community, and certainly a day to invest in your relationship with God. Sabbath day, a really good day. Now, when we read there in the Ten Commandments about the Sabbath, it was based on God who created the world and rested on the seventh day. But did you notice, there's not much there in about the not working. There's not actually much there in terms of detail. There's not much there. Now, you could look up some references about the Sabbath in the Old Testament, like when the Israelites are on the way to the Promised Land, they're told not to go out and collect things on the Sabbath day. There's another passage there about not kindling a fire on the Sabbath day. But on the whole, the law, enjoying a day of rest, was big in principle. But actually, when you look at it, it's actually small in detail. It's worth thinking about that. But the religious leaders, they were quick to fill the vacuum so that they had all the detail worked out. They made up all sorts of rules about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath day. For these religious leaders, you could only travel a certain distance on a Sabbath day. It was about 1 kilometer. Anymore, that was working. Weirdly, how about this one? You couldn't look at a mirror on the Sabbath day. Apparently that was working. All these actually ridiculous man-made religious rules. And there were Sabbath rules about what you could do and couldn't do in terms of harvesting wheat. Maybe this is what got the Pharisees' knickers in a knot about what the disciples are doing, because they're picking it. And they're sort of grinding it in their hand, having a snack on the go. Now, the Pharisees had all these rules that are foreign to us. But I just want to make the point now, what is not foreign to us is that their approach to life was to be righteous with God by having rules and keeping two rules. It's law righteousness. It's actually the way of every religion. It's the Pharisees then. It's, you'd say it's Islam, it's Buddhism, it's Hinduism. It's Christian churchism, actually. If I keep to the law, if I obey and keep up to measure, then God will grant me his acceptance, his approval. I'm righteous because of I'm living righteous. And thinking about it, it does make sense then that the Pharisees would want to fill in all the detail. They want to know how you actually keep going with Sabbath rest. Now, isn't it true that in our lives, we so often want to know the details? We want to know what's required. Back in the day for myself, on any given subject I was studying, you know, I'd look up the assessments, I'd look up the, you know, the marking scheme and work out what I'd need to do to get by when it comes to grading. You know, we're all a bit different. I think some of us are 51%, what a waste of 1% effort sort of people. I think some of us are more like 99%, but what happened? I didn't get the extra 1% sort of people. Either way, we want to know what's required. We want to know what it takes so that we can make it through. It's pretty natural. The Sabbath day for rest, pretty broad, a fair bit of space, so the Pharisees want to know what's required. They want to be righteous, so they want to know the rules. Now, today is not going to be about Christians and their Sabbath day views. Because if you don't know this, certainly Sabbath day has been a bit of a controversial thing amongst Christians. Jewish Sabbath was a Saturday. Now Christians talk about a Sunday. What a blessing it is, you got to say, that in this very hectic life, for some of us or many of us, there's even a weekend where there's 2 days that are away from our normal type of work. But amongst Christians, there is different views about how to use Sundays. And I would just say this, be careful about over-prescribing on all the detail. Some Christians are very insistent that there should be no shopping on a Sunday. Some Christians have been against playing or even watching sport on a Sunday. I'm not out to create issues, but you have to think this through. I knew someone whose dad said this about his kids, and this dad was a minister. He said to his kids, "It's a Sunday, so don't play cricket in the yard, at least on the front yard, make it in the backyard so no one can see you." Now that sounds like outward law keeping to me. But our different approaches to Sunday is not what this passage is about. Let's see how Jesus responds. And it's basically making the point to these Pharisees, there's something bigger going on than your rules about the Sabbath. And he reminds them of two stories or two things really. Have a look, verse 3. He reminds them about the time when King David, back in the Old Testament times, enters the temple and takes some bread, which wouldn't be snack food. It would be part of the sacrificial system. But he's King David. So he's allowed to take some because they were hungry. And then in verse 5 talks about the practice of the temple priests who are allowed to take bread on the Sabbath. So they break the Sabbath really because they're hungry. These moments where Jesus is trying to open their minds, open their hearts to understand the Sabbath in a right way. But I want you to notice, have a look where verse 3 Jesus says, "Haven't you read what David did?" Then in verse 5, "Haven't you read in the law?" Think about it. Jesus is giving these so-called law experts a bit of a slap in the face. "Didn't you know? Haven't you read?" Now, for the Pharisees, this is Jesus, a carpenter's son, someone untrained who never went to rabbi school like they did. Imagine someone coming up to one of the teachers here and saying, "Have you heard of this something called a lesson plan?" Imagine coming to one of the electricians we've got here and say, "Have you heard of this thing called amps and a circuit breaker? Let me tell you a lesson." I mean, ouch. But this isn't Jesus being all arrogant. This is Jesus taking these so-called experts back to school. He's teaching these teachers who don't really know because they're missing the point. Well, I now want to say some things about what we're seeing in this moment between Jesus and the religious teachers and their view on Sabbath and keeping the law. Well, firstly, we see that law righteousness is hypercritical and nitpicky. You see this with the Pharisees and Jesus' disciples who just want to have some lunch. This is the thing the thing about coming up with rules. You can easily define who obeys them and then who doesn't. So you can jump on all over those who don't do it and therefore you can criticize them. These self-righteous Pharisees, they're so self-righteous. They're nitpicky. They're narky. I just want to say that can be church leaders too. I know some of you have had to face the narkiness of church leaders who've just laid down all sorts of law about what it means to be righteous, how to dress, and what you're supposed to do when you go to church, and how much you're supposed to give to church, and what you're supposed to do on a Sunday. This law-keeping, self-righteous narkiness, hypercriticalness ends up being quite abusive. Pharisees do not make for good pastors. I'm sorry for what some of you have had to face. Here's something else. Law righteousness is not merciful. We certainly see this in the moment where the Pharisees are looking to see if Jesus would heal the guy with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. We read this from verse 9. I mean, this guy has the shriveled hand. But with all their rules, those religious teachers have a shriveled heart. Have a look there, verse 11. Jesus reminds them that they're willing to help get a sheep out of a pit on a Sabbath, but apparently they can't help a person on a Sabbath. And interesting, for all those people who believe in animal rights, as if we're all just species, according to Jesus, no, we're not. Actually, people are more worth more than sheep. People are worth more than your fur babies. They're worth more than cows and pigs and sheep, the whole lot of them. But that's actually not the point of this passage. But their shriveled hearts mean they don't care for this man's shriveled hand. But Jesus does. Verse 13 tells him to stretch out his hand. Jesus doesn't even touch his hand, doesn't even say healing type words, just Jesus heals him because he wills it so. This is Jesus' mercy. And if you go back a little bit to verse 7, Jesus had already made the point. Jesus says to these Pharisees, so concerned about keeping their rules, Jesus said, verse 7, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus quoting there the Old Testament prophet Hosea. But the point is, the Pharisees have missed the point. They want rule keeping. Jesus, God wants mercy giving. They want to keep within the boundaries so they don't do anything wrong. God wants his people to go forward and do what is right. And this makes me think of another passage in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the book of Titus. We've got it on the screen. Some great words written by the Apostle Paul, where it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that is very own, eager to do what is good. We're eager to do what is good. Not because we have some rules, but because Jesus is God and Savior and he graciously died for sinners like us. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. So we can be eager to be merciful, to be generous, to help and give hospitality and give comfort to the hurting. We can shop for others when they're in isolation. We can have people into our homes. We can make effort with a newcomer. We can help out those people in our growth groups when someone's moving. We can give a Saturday to give them a hand. And yes, we can do that on Saturdays and Sundays and every other day that ends in Y as well. Religious law righteousness is so different from showing mercy. And here's the last thing. That's the main thing. Law righteousness misses the point of Jesus. It totally misses the point of Jesus. I mean, we see it, don't we? The religious leaders, they're out to condemn Jesus and his disciples because Jesus doesn't keep to their rules. What a tragedy. We see it there. Let's go back to Jesus' words in verse 6, where he says there, "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you'd known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." We need to be clear about this. This isn't a clash of two types of different religious leaders, two different perspectives on what the Sabbath means. The Pharisees, must be thinking, what a little upstart. This guy is telling us how to read the law, but they're just not seeing what's going on. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one who's the Sabbath, what it was always about. The seventh day when God rested from all his work, the Sabbath, that's because of Jesus. There in creation, the commandment to set aside a day in a week, that's because of Jesus. Jesus is not someone to give his interpretation of the law. He's the one who's the law. He's the one that the law was always about. Notice in verse 8, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's easy to cast our eye over that and sort of skip it and miss it. It's actually a title from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel. The Son of Man is the one with all authority and power who sits on God's throne. Jesus is very deliberate to say he's the Son of Man. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. The self-righteous Pharisees are upset that Jesus and his disciples are having a snack on a Saturday, but their narkiness should be replaced with humility. They should fall down and worship Jesus. Missing the point. What a tragedy. This is horrific. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It's actually no accident that earlier on in Matthew's gospel we were told about Jesus' words. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We just looked at this last time, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The Sabbath day was about having a day of rest. It was a signpost to Jesus. So we can put down all our striving. We can put down all our effort, all our working towards righteousness to try to prove ourselves and stop following the rules. Just come to Jesus. Come to him and trust in him and have deep and real eternal rest. Real relationship with God. I want to point out one more thing about these religious leaders. Their narkiness, their nitpicking, their condemnation of Jesus and his disciples. Down in verse 14, after Jesus basically shown them for how hard-hearted they are with the guy with the shriveled hand, they definitely prove their hard, shriveled hearts by going out and plotting how they might kill Jesus. This moment about Sabbath day is not a story about Saturday, Sabbath day practices, Sunday Sabbath day practices. It's really about Jesus. It's how you respond to Jesus. And the thing about missing the point is you don't know when you're missing the point. So could it possibly be you, new today, or even a Christian, and been around church for a while, but you've got into this way of thinking it's about rules, it's about keeping your life in order, in line, keeping within the boundaries about what's expected, a sign it might be you is you find yourself nitpicky and narky towards others. They're not living up to your standards. You have a critical heart. You look down on others. I mean, being honest, I can be like that. I think a lot of us can be like that. See, the plotting of the Pharisees that took Jesus to the cross was God's plan so that any one of us can come to God and know his forgiveness and know his love and have real relationship and have rest. And it's just wonderful news, rest. You don't have to compete with anyone else to keep to the rules, where the only sacrifice needed is the one that Jesus paid himself for us. Jesus is the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't miss the point. Come to him. Trust in him. Follow him. Accept what he's done for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, the Son of Man. You know the Pharisee-like heart. You know what can be in any one of us. How we're drawn to keep to the rules, to keep our lives within certain boundaries and pursue self-righteousness. So, Father, help us to put that aside, to see Jesus clearly and to come to him, to accept him, to follow him, to accept the rest that he gives us. Father, you desire mercy and not sacrifice. Thank you for that one sacrifice that was given by Jesus at the cross. And so out of that, work in us by your Spirit so that we'd be eager for mercy ourselves, eager for generosity and doing good towards others. Help us to live, not according to living up to the rules, but living out following Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.